We appreciate you tuning in to us today. We're going to give you a very easy to do, almost impossible to forget gospel presentation using just one verse. We're using Bob McPherson, who is one of our trainers. He's going to be presenting the gospel to me like a lunchtime presentation that you can hear and mimic yourself. If you'd like visuals of this, you can email me, dallison@briarwood.org, and I'll be glad to send you a copy of that. Or call me, 205-776-5289, and I'll send you a visual of this so you can see what Bob has written down. Bob's going to start out like we just sat down after lunch and we're having a cup of coffee.
Dan, I appreciate you having lunch with me today. One of the reasons I wanted to get together with you is that I'm taking some training in my church, and one of the things we're requested to do is to share a Bible verse that kind of summarizes the whole Bible with someone and a diagram that illustrates that verse.
Just one verse?
Just one verse out of the whole Bible. Could I do that?
Yeah, I can handle one verse, that's
okay.
For sure. Yeah.
The verse is Romans 6:23, and it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And what we're going to do is just look at some of the key words, and the first word is wages. What do you think of when you think of a wage?
Well, wage is what you earn.
Exactly right. It's what you earn. And so the wages of sin, what is sin?
Jeepers. I suppose that sin is doing anything that would be against some standard. I guess it would be against God's standards.
Right. I was sharing with someone not long ago, and he said, "Sin is all the things I do." So the wages of sin is death. Now, in Scripture, death doesn't mean annihilation. It means separation. And so physical death is separation of the soul from the body. And spiritual death is separating the soul from God in some kind of awful existence. Now, if the verse stopped there, we'd be in a lot of trouble because it says what we've earned by our sin is death or separation from God. But the little word "but" means it doesn't stop there. It goes on and says, "The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So I'm going to write "free gift" over here. What is the difference between a wage and a gift?
Well, it's pretty obvious. Wage is something that you earn. If somebody gives you a free gift, then it's a gift. It's something that you don't have to do anything for. It's a gift.
Right. Now, in fact, if you work for a gift or earn it in some way, it's no longer a gift, is it?
That's right. That's right.
It goes on and says the free gift of God. Who is God, according to your understanding?
Well, wow, that's a pretty big question, I guess. Supreme being, creator, that sort of thing. You could say it's the first force. I don't really know, but it's a big thing, I suppose.
Okay. All right. Well, you can see we're opposing these things. And so if sin is bad, then God will be good perfect.
Yeah.
You see? And then eternal life. This is life with God forever. Eternal means forever. In a good place. And this over here, death, is separation from God in a not so good place. Now, what we've got the bad stuff over here and we've got the good stuff over here. And the question is, how do we get across this gulf or this separation of us from God? How do we get from death to life? And the next part of the verse gives us that, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, you know Christ died on the cross, so I'm going to draw a cross in here and put Jesus on the cross. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, he was building a bridge so we get across here. He took care of the sin problem by paying the penalty for our sin so that we could come in to God's presence. So that's what Jesus did when he died on the cross. But notice also it says that Jesus is Lord. Now, we don't use the word Lord too much, but think of it like a landlord. If you were renting an apartment or a building or something, you'd have a landlord who would have authority over you in the use of that apartment. You'd have to pay your rent on time. You couldn't play your music too loud. You couldn't shoot your gun through the wall and those kind of things. So when it says Jesus is Lord, it means that he's the ruler over all of his creation. Now, that'll be important in just a minute. Now, to get across this bridge that Jesus built is a two-step process. The first step is to confess. And the word confess just means to say the same thing God says. So what we confess is this is true, that because of my sin, I deserve death. But God wants to give me a free gift of eternal life, and Jesus died on the cross so that I could receive that gift. Do you believe that's true?
Well, yeah, I believe that Christ died on the cross for my sins. Yeah, I do.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, that's the easy one. The second one is the hard one, and that's surrender.
Oh, me.
Remember, we said Jesus is Lord. Well, we need to surrender to Him as Lord. We need to let Him be God in our life. We'd be willing to let Him, to be willing to go His way at life and not our own. Now, nobody does that perfectly, but that's a commitment that we make up front, that to the best of our ability, we're going to surrender our will to Him and seek to go His way at life and not our own. Now, when we meet both of these conditions, then we cross over, but you got to get both of them. In my case, I got the confession part when I was 15, but I missed the surrender part. And I was 30 years old before I got the surrender part. Now, for those 15 years, I thought I was a believer because I believed these things were true. But what I had is head knowledge. I didn't have heart knowledge. And for those 15 years, I wasn't a believer, although I thought I was. And it didn't take a genius to figure out I wasn't, but I couldn't figure it out. And so I had to get both of them before I could cross over. Now, do you think that you have met the surrender part at some time?
Well, I have the head knowledge, but I don't know how to get that heart knowledge. And what you're telling me is I need to be willing to follow Christ, follow King Jesus, I suppose, surrender Him as Lord.
That's right. Do you think you've ever done that?
No, I know I have never done that.
Okay.
I try to live by the Ten Commandments and that sort of thing, but
sure.
I haven't done the surrender completely.
Well, the surrender part is the key. If you don't have that, you really don't have it. And would you like to do that right now? Would you like to surrender your life to Christ right now? And we can go to Him and tell Him that you'd like to do that. What I normally do is pray for someone, then lead them in a simple prayer where they would just tell Jesus they'd like to surrender their life to Him, and then pray for you again. Would you like to do that now?
Well, I certainly don't want to be under that separation part, and I certainly would like to be able to have the eternal life part. Yeah.
Well, why don't we settle it right now?
Well, that's good. Let's do that. Let me confirm that by talking to God, I suppose.
All right. Well, what I'll do is I'll pray for you a short, simple prayer, and then I'll just lead you in a prayer, and you can just pray after me, and then I'll pray for you again. Now, I'm not putting words in your mouth, and there's nothing magical about this prayer. It's just a way of expressing our faith to God, okay?
Okay.
All right, let me pray for you. Lord, you know Dan's heart, and you know his desire to have you as Lord of his life. I pray that you would give him the ability to understand, repent, and put his faith in you and to surrender to you. Now, Dan, just pray after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross.
Thank you for dying on the cross.
And paying the penalty for my sin.
And paying the penalty for my sins.
I want to receive you now.
I want to receive you now.
As my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
I want to allow you to be in control of my life.
I want to allow you to be in control of my life.
To the best of my ability.
To the best I can.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Again.
Amen.
Now, Dan, let me pray for you again. Lord, you've heard Dan's prayer. I pray now that you would give him the assurance that you have come into his life, that you would give him the ability to follow through on his prayer of commitment and would indeed be able to surrender his life to you on a daily and increasingly manner. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Dan, I really appreciate that. And this is not the finish line, this is the starting line. And when you make a commitment like that, you need to follow through on it.
Yes.
And in following through on it, we have to apply what we call the five means of growth.
Okay.
And the first one is prayer. Prayer just simply talking to God, and we need to set a time daily when we would pray and talk to Him.
Prayer time.
Right. And then the next one would be the Bible. The Bible is kind of like God's love letter to us, and it's God's instruction manual to us. And so we need to read the Bible on a daily basis. And I found the more I read it, the more I understand it, and the more sense it makes. Then the next part of means of growth, the third one, is worship. We worship God by ascribing worth to Him. That happens in a worship service. But also, we can worship Him privately, between us and Him. Then the next one is fellowship, and fellowship usually takes place in a small group,
right,
with just a few people getting together and talking about things and studying the Bible together and holding each other accountable and those kind of things.
Well, our church has a little study group. Maybe I ought to join that.
That would probably be a good idea. And then the last one is witness, and we witness by our life and by our words. We need to live a life that's pleasing to God and pleasing to us too. But if we just live a good life and don't tell other people why, then they know we're good, but they don't know why. So when you tell them it's because of Jesus and what he's done for us. I'd like to give you this little booklet that kind of summarizes what we've talked about, and ask you to read back through there. And then I'd like to challenge you to begin reading the Bible with the Gospel of John.
Well, as I look at this booklet, I see the little diagram is in there, and it's further explained and more explanation. And then also I see there's a Bible study in there. Maybe I could start by doing this Bible study.
That'd be great.
Okay.
That would be wonderful for you to do that. And if you would apply those means of growth, then anytime Jesus wants to be your best friend, but anytime you try to seek a friend or somebody, you've got to spend time with them. You've got to communicate with them and those kind of things. And so as we do that, then our personal relationship with Christ would grow and mature.
Amen. And that's good. Sounds good to me. I'll be a little bit more attentive at church services, perhaps. Yeah.
Well, if I could help in any way, please let me know. And what I'd like to do maybe is get together with you next week and just see how you're doing and see
okay.
if I can answer any questions maybe kind of help you get started.
Well, let me work through a couple of these Bible verses, and then maybe we can meet same place, same time next week. We could have lunch again.
That'd be great.
And I'll buy this time.
That's super.
Thank you, Bob.
Uh-huh.